Blog Talk Radio.
Jalia, what's happening? What's the news? Alafia family, welcome to the Care to Read Room. I'd like to welcome you to another week in the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omeyinka 7, Zanu, live celebrating Black History Month. Wouldn't you know it? Ladies and gentlemen, some of you have noticed that I've added a surname on my name as priestesses. I am now accepting the calling and taking the name Priestesses, which I should have been wearing for quite some while now. Now, you can find me under Priestess Omiinka 7, Zanu. And the Zanu is the name that was given to me by my godfather, by Chief Medihoche Kofi Wali Zanu. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this, but most Africans, they assume at least three different names, and each one of them means something different. And we won't be going into the names today, but you should know that. That's just a little tidbit. What I'd like to do is get on with the show, because last week I was going to cover information on the African-American male and the conspiracy to destroy the African-American male. And we got so tied up in the topic that we went on into another topic, and I'm sure you know that. But we have a few questions that we want to answer today for Black History Month. The celebration continues, as you know. Here's to our ancestors. We want to offer up libation to them. And just who are they? Who are our ancestors? And how do we stay in contact with them? How do we pay homage to them? What do you have to do? Do you have to call them out? You have to constantly go out in the rain and see if they're going to show up? How do we pay homage, ladies and gentlemen? Can our ancestors really assist us in a time of need during this lifetime? And if so, in what way? And finally, how do we commune with our ancestors? And if they're absent in the physical plane, how do we see them? And how do we know that they're there? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to ask you to do something that I wouldn't do, but I am going to ask you to believe for things you can't see, because you must understand, when ancestors part from this plane, from this planet, they make a transition, and there is a preparation for them to make the transition over to the other side. So they're not present here with you, just like Jesus is absent in the body but present in the spirit. That is the same thing with your ancestors. You're not going to see them walking around or floating around. And I'm not trying to be spooky with you by getting down spooky, asking you to be spooky. No, none of that nonsense. I'm asking you to understand that out in the atmosphere, there are many beings there, and they're made of atoms. You can't see them, of course, but you're walking into them. Those atoms and those many atoms that are out there in the atmosphere, they have a vibration. They have a frequency. Now, why would your ancestors want to come around? Wouldn't they want to finish off the job? Wouldn't they want to oversee households and families to make sure that things are carried out? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I know this, I've been an ancestor worshiper long before I became a Christian. And I'll say this again, I've been an ancestral worshiper long before I became a Christian. I had to believe and see angels as a child because I was always told that my mother would come back and pay a visit to me. And she did. And this is the honest to God truth, and it was documented by my family at an early age of 10. And the reason why I'm saying this, I'm going to get right into the story and tell you how I came to know ancestors and why they're very pertinent in my life. And if you believe in Michelangelo or the archangels, and if you believe all 12 of those angels, and you have your personal angel, your guardian angel that watches over you, then you can believe in ancestors. Say it with me, ancestors. It's not worshiping ancestors. It's acknowledging them and giving homage to them. And we're going to talk about that word homage as well. But before we get into that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to finish up our topic on the conspiracy to destroy African-American males and just who is doing this and why. And what do we need to do to preserve our black males in the community? And how can women play a strategic role? Well, ladies and gentlemen, my book is already ready to come out. The manuscript is finished. I've been working on it for some time now. It was a piggybacking on with the concept from Dr. Juwanza Jufu, who talked about the conspiracy, and he and I were great friends. We did work up in Illinois together in the near north suburb, and I made a proposal or a hypothesis that I thought that the women played a part in this conspiracy, and that we could be the ones who are carrying out the conspiracy unbeknownst to us. And if so, then are we part of the conspiracy? we would possibly have to be if there are 80% of females in the school system teaching, and we're the ones that identify, make referrals, and sometimes assess those children who go on to special ed. So we are part of a conspiracy. Like it or not, women, please don't jump all over me for that hypothesis. I'm sure you have a hypothesis of your own and a pedagogical philosophy, but this just happens to be mine because I've researched it and spent almost 10 years researching it, and I'm not just talking off the cuff. I'm talking from what I know and from working with black males for over 10 years and observing them eye to eye on a regular basis for 2 years. So this documentation is all in my book, and you'll be able to read it. It's nothing that Omi produced herself. I quoted everybody I could, and I footnoted everyone I thought that had something to say on the topic of discussion. And Dr. Juwanza Kanjufu was heavily quoted in my book, and he accentuated my book. As a matter of fact, before I left, he wanted to publish it. He called me out and said, I'd like to publish it. But he got so busy, I thought it would be necessary. This one, I have to carry it out. This one, I have to carry it out because I have two male children in my household, and I had to make sure that they were properly represented and that we could do something in the classroom as teachers to circumvent this conspiracy and to make sure that if we are part of curriculum, we can make statements about what needs to be changed for the African-American male in order to preserve them in our community so that we are not putting our young men on the bald eagles list. That's right. They fall in lower than a refugee, and they're on the bald eagles list. But we'll talk about that in a second. Why don't you stay tuned and get ready and kick back and get ready for this topic because it is hot tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't you go over to the Care to Read room with me, the Talking Cure, and I'm going to get a drum roll out here so we can get over there real quick. But some of you, you probably don't understand why it's important that we should talk about these topics. Can I get a drum roll, please? All right, now. The priestess and the empress is in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet. And we give homage to our ancestors today. And we're doing it up to my prophet. Talking Cure Room, and I'm going to pour libations to my ancestors. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to lift them up. So let's lift them up. But before we lift them up, we always lift up Akamare, the God of the outer courts of heaven and the God of the inner courts. We also lift up Oladulamare, who is the God of this earth that has connections with us. We want to lift up Ori as well, and we say Ashe to the God. We want to also lift up Oromola. Oromola is the prophet that was sent to the Africans. Ashe. I lift up my mother's spirit, and I hold up a glass of water to her that is poured in libation. The water is fertile, and we send the signatures out on the water as we call out the name of our loved ones, and these are close loved ones to us. And then we call out our heroes and sheroes. So I call out Yamanja, my mother's spirit, Clara Jenkins. I call out Obatala, my father's spirit, Robert Jenkins. I pour libations to the east, and I say, Ashe. Oye. I pour libations to the west, and I say, Ashe. Owatutu. I pour libations to the east, and I, excuse me, to the north, and I say, Ashe. I pour finally with libations to the south, and I say, Ashe. I light a candle for my father's spirit, and I say, Father, find your way through the middle passes and down the river. I light a candle for my father's spirit. I light a candle for my mother's spirit and say, Mother, light this candle so that you can find your way. May this water quench your thirst. May you be fed well. And as we talk today, family, know that your ancestors need nourishment, and water is nourishment to their soul. It quenches their thirst. It is important to have water around the house. That water will not become stagnant, and it will be moving. Water is currency. It must move. So as we create the currency, we know that we are moving our ancestors in to us closely. And as we light the candle, we're giving them vision to see. And some people believe that the nourishment is so great that it's very important that you ought to remember that your mothers and fathers needed nourishment, so you set their favorite foods aside for them. If they like yam, or if they like a good cup of coffee, or if they would like a slice of pie, those are the things that you prepare for them and set them aside so that you remember them in all accounts. Now, what can our ancestors do for us, Eli? They can open up the way and make the way plain and clear. They can make a way out of no way. They are fighting for you. They're the angels that would be out there fighting with the other angels, fighting to open up a door, petitioning on your behalf, saying, God, that's my child out there. Open that door. Make it plain and clear. Make the crooked place straight so that they can come through. Open up a way for them. A window was closed for my daughter. Open the door now, God. Open the door. They petition on your behalf. They're advocates for you and your children. They can oversee things that you can't see. So you go in the spirit to petition them, just like you would your angels. And if you got your guardian angels down pat and you carry them tightly with you, now pick up your ancestors and carry them tightly, because they're just as important as angels are. Now, how many of you have been raising your hand and putting your angel around your neck and carrying your angel in your pocketbook and carrying your angel when you go into the bingo and carrying your angel when you bow down to pray? Now, pick up your ancestors the same way and know that they're the closest thing to you. As a child at 10 years old, all I knew was the angels until my sister introduced to me my mother's ring and my mother's spirit, and told me to carry her with me in my heart. And the only way I could carry her with me was to make her an ancestor and to set up an altar to her, to acknowledge her day and night, and to call on her when things weren't right. I didn't think to jump up and call on an angel. I called, Mother, Mother, will you please help me? Mother, will you please intercede? Father, will you please go and tell them? Now, how many of you have looked to your parents who have been deceased and said, Mother, Mother, oh, Mother, if you had been here, things would have been different. Mother, if you could have helped me, I would have done something differently. Oh, Father, Father, if you could have just set me on your knee and ministered to me. How many of you have asked them? How many of you know you can still talk to them now? And how many of you know that you can petition them? They're available to you. They have not left you. They wouldn't leave you if life depended on it. They have come through your children. Some of them have shown up in the faces of your children. And some of them are sitting with you right now. All you have to do is let them in. They're knocking. Let them in. The way you call your ancestors, you ring a bell to them. Sometimes they can't hear you. You have to ring a bell. Oh, ancestors, please come. We invite your spirit in. Please come. you ring a bell to them. You must always remember that the bell would signify to them that you would like to have them present here. Their spirit, their sweet-smelling fragrance, you might want to even light an incense to them to bring in the permeated fragrance to invite them. And you might set a slice of pie on the altar saying, I set this aside for you, Mother. Eat well. And don't touch it for several days and leave it there. Then Mother will find it in her heart when you're in trouble to run to your rescue, to open up the way and say, my child has remembered me. I must too remember my child. Is it asking for favor? Yes, it is. But what are you always doing? I hear all of you ministers on these airwaves just begging God and pleading with God and begging God. When God said, you have your ancestors. You have your ancestors. They're here. I gave them dominion over you. I gave them dominion over you on this earth. Now go to them. I have no affairs with man. I am the one that created the universe. My work is done. I've given you deities to go to. You go to your Oludulamare, which is the one that rules this earth, and Ori and your ancestors. So why are you bothering God who can't hear you, who is sounding a deaf ear on you? His work is finished. He gave you dominion over this earth. Now take it and set up an altar to your ancestors. Now, why are ancestors so important to me? And then nothing you Christians can tell me. I've been a Christian too. But you didn't know what it was like to lose both parents at an early age. You didn't know what it was like not to be able to talk to your mother and father. So I created that world, and it worked for me. It carried me through two masters. It carried me through a bachelor's and a master's and then through a theology degree, and they were right there with me. And they were rooting me on and petitioning me on and advocating for me. I know it because I couldn't have did it alone. And I'm telling you the same thing. Some of you are heartbroken right now. Some of you are grief-stricken, and you don't know what to do because you feel like you're here left alone in this universe without them. You feel like that they have left you. They have not left you. You can call them back anytime you want to. And as a matter of fact, some of them are sitting with you now, waiting for you to acknowledge them. Why don't you acknowledge them? Ancestor worshiping is not a sin. And for you Christians out there, I can see you speaking now down on it. My sisters have been spiritualists all their life, lived to be 80 years old, living a pious life and a spiritual life. So some of these so-called Christians who think that they know what they're talking about, then why are you borrowing from the Africans, talking about the Holy Ghost when you don't know anything about it? The Holy Ghost is something that comes from the African race, and the Holy Ghost was created so that you would allow God to be able to permeate your being and to possess you. And when you've been possessed by the Holy Ghost, it speaks for you. And it tells the community the things that they need to know, and it shows you how to live right. So I want you to know, church, stop being so hypocritical, thinking that you are talking to God and you know everything from God. What you do know is what God is telling you. Every one of you have your very own personal being that works with you. Your Ori talks to you, through you, about you, not about somebody else. So quit letting people tell you who call themselves a prophet and you running around with itchy ears like you can't get an audience with your own God. You can get an audience with your own God. You can speak to your own God. Now, what do they do for you? They go into the courtroom and they fight for you. They go into the township when you got to go in there and ask them to let up off you so you can get the electricity paid or your water bill paid. They go in and open the way for you. They go in when people have closed the doors to you and sound a deaf ear on you, and they make a way out of no way, and they convince them to hear you. God doesn't have time for your nitpicky problems, so quit calling on him. He is giving you a way, and he's giving you an expression of his love. The Orishas are expressions of him. They, too, will serve you, just as the angels will serve you. Now, how many of you are angel worshipers? You got to get it in your heart. You got some other helpers now. That's why I travel with the tribe. I have the angels that are somewhat below us, human beings, because they're below us, But your ancestors are above the angels. They are higher than angels. If you don't believe me, check your biblical scriptures. And if they're higher than the angels, guess what? When they make the petition, it is probably seen far better than the angels. So then you also have your Orishas that also petition on your behalf. You have some helpers out there. Now, why haven't you used them? Why haven't you begun to use them so that you can fare better in situations? No, because you're too busy begging God. God, please, oh, please, God. God, I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to do right. God, no, you're not, because you're talking to yourself, and you must minister to yourself first and talk to Ori. And you and Ori collaborate together, and you work it out together in your own spirit first. God is so tired and sick and tired of you guys treating him like a bellhop that he's turned his back on you. He's turned his back because some of the Africans have walked away from the concept of the God being permeated within your being. They've walked away from it, and they have no power. Your power comes when you and the Godhead that serves you on the inside, you and him collaborate together and work together to get things done. Now, if you want a true worship, you must get in the spirit. And the only way you can get in the spirit, you must invite your ancestors in so that they can be a part of the worship. And you must serenade them with song and dance. And you must lift them up. And you must tell them you love them and that you have not forgotten about them. They will begin to open up doors for you. They will begin to give you favor. And if favor is what you want, stop asking Michael, the archangel, because he may not be assigned to you. Do you not know that these edifice buildings, they all have angels assigned to them? And did you not know that you have ancestors assigned to you so that you have something a little bit more than the angels? You have the ancestors who are connected to your bloodline, who have interest in you. They have jobs that were unfinished before they left here. Don't you think they're going to come back to finish that project that they started on you? So they're fully invested in you, and you must be fully invested in them. Now, I want you to understand, I'm going to send a prayer out to all those who are seeking to open their eyes, who may have scales on their eyes, who want to see, but who do not have eyes to see. I'm going to pray that God opens a third eye so you can see. And those of you who are deaf-founded and would like for your ears to be open so you can understand. And those of you ministers who are probably judging me right now. As a minister, you can't judge me. As a minister, you can't judge me. Because God has given you the same ability to serve him and given you the same ability to become a God. But you refuse to walk into those steps and those footsteps to become a God, you refuse to. And you are pushing for something different. Now, I want to say to you this. You must remember that God has called us to do work. And when he calls us to do work, we have to be ready to do our work. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to do my work. And I want to also say to you that you must get ready to do your work. And you cannot be in a position where you are not going to let God do it for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to tell you right now that God is in the process of calling his people to his own. He's in the process of calling his people, and you need to get ready, because if you have been sincere about this thing called worship, you will get in the spirit and you will serve God. And not only will you serve God, you will get in the spirit and you will learn of his greatness and understand that God has given you authority and he's given you the ability to worship him in spirit and truth. Now, why don't you do that? And I say, I send out a blessing to everyone that they may begin to see what I see. And God will open their eyes and they will begin to commune with their ancestors and know that God has petitioned them to do the work. But he cannot do the work for you. You must meet him halfway. And ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for the opportunity. And may every household represented here will be blessed. And God will begin to show you how to worship in the spirit. I thank you. Amen. Now, I'd like to say that the topic that I was talking on in reference to the black man and the conspiracy to destroy the black man. The conspiracy to destroy the black man is nothing new. It's been around for a while, and Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu has documented this, and he has talked about how important it is for us to decipher who's a part of the conspiracy. And women, please do not be angry with me. It has been known for quite a while that we are a part of the conspiracy, and we have been giving way to the assessment of African-American males and sometimes assessing them inappropriately and making referrals to special ed, which is a direct route into the penal institution. Now, I like to say this for the benefit of the record. The bald eagle has now come off the list, and our black men are going on the list. But it's up to us, female women, to go in, to make a change, and to make a change quickly so that these numbers and counts for these prison inmates will go down. It is my prayer and the ancestors' prayer that this will be deterred and the school systems are falling apart because we are basing our education on miseducation, and we are funneling our children into institutions which will cause them to not to be a part of the greater society. And I caution you women that are out there to please stop making referrals for attention deficit disorder unless the child has had a chance to be assessed by an MD. Stop making your opinion about a child being hyper. If you don't know what the standard is and the norm is, you cannot evaluate a child. It's just your opinion. And for you African-American teachers, be very leery. When you have black boys in your classroom, start inviting men in to help assess them and to assist you. And we need to look at overhauling the curriculum because it has not been designed to serve the black male child well. And we must understand that in this hypothesis that I've written about in my book, the effects that females have on African-American male, it is no indictment on female teachers. It's an indictment on society. Because it is a shame to find one person or one species that is hunted and that is always singled out as being a criminal. All black men are not criminals, and all black men have been raised right. It just so happens that they are feared by so many races of people, and we have to do a better job of serving them. I'm going to be bringing on a guest to speak possibly tomorrow or either Friday, and he's going to come and talk about the black man's role, and what it is that we are fearing in the black man, and he's going to give us his perspective. I am a woman. I cannot give you my perspective of a male, so I think we can do better by bringing someone in to talk about that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to go out of here as we get our drum roll and get ready to go out of here. I'd like to thank you so much for talking to Maddie Ruth Bailey. This was Profoundly Grown Up. Thank you.
somebody.